Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message. When I was growing up, we used to study for tests, and when we studied for tests, sometimes, maybe you're like me or like some of the people, not your neighbor, but the other neighbor, where you were one of those crash studiers where you waited to the last week or the 2 weeks before the test or 2 days before the test to study. And then everybody would try to go out to eat. You like, I can't go out because I'm studying. Or I can't go out because I'm working on the paper. How long have you known about the paper? I mean, it don't matter. When's the paper due? Tomorrow. Have you started on it? No. And many of us were procrastinators. I don't want to speak about procrastination, but many of us, by default, wait to the last minute to do things. And then we say stuff like, I do my best work at the last minute. I do my best work under pressure. Can anybody be free right now? Just go ahead, free yourself. Free yourself. Yeah. All right. So that's what a lot of us did. So sometimes that would work and we would pass the test or we would do good on the paper. But then other times we would leave there saying, I should have gave myself more time to study. Or sometimes you would take the test and you said, I didn't even have to study for this. I already knew all the answers. I remember growing up and I was a PK. Me and Kendra have that in common. That's about the only thing, but we have a few things in common. And I remember growing up and my parents, we would talk about the different people in the church who needed clothes or shoes. And we would be sitting around the dinner table back in the archaic days when family actually ate together, when they didn't have phones, but actually people sat around the table and people actually did that stuff. And you actually prayed before you ate, you know, back in those days. It's a long time ago, but we used to do things like that. And when we were sitting there eating and talking about these things in the family and what was happening in the church, I remember saying, oh, that was sad. You know, they should get some clothes. And I remember not long after I would say that, my parents would say something like, what about those clothes you don't wear no more? I'll say, what about them? They would say, go get a trash bag. Because you didn't have, you go get a trash bag and put those clothes in there that you don't wear. And we're going to give them to that person. So we would give what we called hand-me-downs to somebody. We didn't need it anymore, but it was the answer for somebody else. Perhaps what somebody else needs, you don't have to look for it. You might already have it. You might be saying to yourself in your closet, you're eventually going to get down to that size 8 again. You're going to get back once the calluses and the bunions get off your feet. You're going to get back. And to the 5-inch you used to wear, you're going to get back into that dress you wore at your first marriage. You're going to do all that stuff again. But really tell yourself the truth. It's only me being a hoarder, keeping on to something that no longer serves a purpose. If it's going to be a blessing to somebody else, let me let go of it. I want you to go ahead and tell yourself right now before I go any further, let go of it. Whatever it is you might be holding on to, if it answers somebody else's need, you might need to go let go of it. And I want to prophetically declare for many of you in this room today that the next season that you're heading into is a season where you already have what somebody needs. But you're going to have to speak to your stingy self. You're going to have to speak to the self that does not like to share. Yeah. You're going to have to speak to your mind who is absorbed in social media things. And you're going to have to put that on pause long enough to have a conversation with somebody who needs your ear. Right. You already have what your next season needs. This next season is not going to be a season where you're going to have to look for the answer. You're already going to have it. When someone comes to you and says, I'm going through something, you're going to be able to reflect back on what you've come through and be able to say, that's why I went through that. Someone say, I already have it. So in this particular text, lest I hasten too long, this particular text, we find out that Jesus, after it says in verse 1, it says, after he heard this. This in the text was talking about how John the Baptist had been captured by Herod. Herod had captured John the Baptist because he was preaching the gospel and they didn't like what he was doing. So they captured him. They put him into captivity. And it says that Herod's sister-in-law, his brother's wife, did not like John and she wanted John to be killed. So she wanted John to be killed. So his sister-in-law's daughter, his niece-in-law, came to Herod's birthday party and she danced seductively before the king. For you not to know the word seductive, I cannot explain it today because I have children in the room. If you need to know it, look at some of the ratchet television that we watch today and you'll understand. But she was dancing before the king, and as she danced before the king, it captured his mind so much so that he said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. There is an area of temptation that will bring you to a place that your spiritual senses are numb, to where you begin to say things you didn't mean to say and stay places you didn't mean to stay and pay more than you planned to pay. So Herod's attention had been diverted because there was a dance before him. And he said, I'll give you whatever you want. She went back to her mother and said, he said that he'll give me whatever I want. What do we want? And she went back to Herod and said, we want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. He regretted that he said he would give her anything he wanted, but because he was the king, whatever he said, he had to do. So the king ordered that John the Baptist be executed and that his body be decapitated, his head be decapitated, that his head be lifted up off his body. I'm having a Game of Thrones memory. So his head be lifted up off of his body. So his head was taken off of his body, and then it was placed on a platter and delivered to his sister-in-law. How morbid it is when you enjoy beheading somebody. Some of you have not physically murdered people, but you like to remove the head from your household. You like to take authority away. So she enjoyed the satisfaction of the gospel being beheaded. So the disciples of John came and they started being in disarray, and they were upset because their leader had been killed. So they get to Jesus and they tell Jesus the news that his friend, his forerunner, because John the Baptist said, there comes someone who is going to be greater than me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to even strap. I am not he, but I am not the word, but he is the word, and there's somebody greater than me. You have to be sure of yourself when you know that there's somebody better than you. You're just a forerunner. When you know who you are, you don't compete with anybody. When you know what your assignment is, you are not intimidated by anybody, because you know that when you show up, nobody can do it like you do it. Look at somebody and say, I'm not intimidated. I'm not intimidated. John the Baptist knew his assignment, and his assignment was to prepare the way for who was coming after him. Perhaps you're not the one we're looking for. Perhaps you're the one preparing the way. Maybe you won't be an entrepreneur, but maybe your child will be an entrepreneur. So don't hate on your child if they get out of debt before you. Maybe you prepared the way so that what you struggled with, they won't have to struggle with. Some of us are just preparing the way for a brighter future. If you're okay with preparing the way, look at somebody and say, I'm just preparing the way. That's all I'm doing. I might not see it, but I'm preparing the way. Harriet Tubman did not see all of us free, but look at us free today. Somebody had to prepare the way. So John the Baptist prepared the way. Jesus, they told Jesus, hey, the forerunner died. So Jesus was now in a state of mourning, because even though he was not John and John was not him, he appreciated Jesus. He appreciated the ministry of John. Oh, if I could teach a leadership message across the nation, that we would learn how to appreciate John, and John can appreciate Jesus. Well, we can learn how to appreciate Kojic, and Kojic can appreciate Baptist, and Baptist can appreciate Methodist, and Methodist can appreciate Catholic, and we don't have to have wars against each other to say who's got it right. Denominations, according to Tyler Gray and others, is that it was just a construct of religious activities that we did, that we happened to do habitually and stamp a name to it. None of us have it all right, even non-denominational. Just because you're non-denominational doesn't mean now we're going to do it right. That doesn't mean all of us have something that, if not checked, needs to be submitted under the blood of Jesus. Growth Point is not the answer to Lexington. It's just a piece of the larger puzzle. And when we understand that, we won't say my church is better than your church. We do it better than your church. We got to rock the block. What you having? It ain't about that. Maybe they rocking the caskets. Maybe that's the best they know how to do is kill people. But what we do is save people. But we got to celebrate who's killing and who's giving life. And all of us have a purpose. Look at somebody say we got a purpose. That's all. So Jesus, Kane and I might not do good. So Jesus was mourning, but Jesus taught us what to do when you're mourning. The first thing Jesus taught us, and you go to your notes here, Jesus taught us your purpose. No, that might be another message, but those are not the messages notes for the day. But those are good. That's good though, but it's not for today. The first thing is you must withdraw to refuel and reconnect, because purpose never sleeps. Say it again. You're going to have to learn how to withdraw and to refuel and reconnect, because purpose never sleeps. What that means is, some of us go through things and we withdraw, but we withdraw to be isolated. We withdraw to say, I don't want to be bothered because I'm going through something. In this scripture, verse 13 says, now when Jesus heard this, it says he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Sometimes you need to learn how to withdraw from people. It doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means to be my best self. Sometimes I need to put you on do not disturb. It's not that I don't want to come over for 4th of July barbecue, but I leave early because I know when the mess starts. So I have to do what I need to do to preserve my sanity. Jesus withdrew himself because he knew his purpose doesn't go to sleep. And many of us have put our purpose on sleep, but our purpose was never meant to be put to sleep. We need to withdraw to refuel and reconnect back to God, because your purpose will always find you. Because in this scripture says, have you ever, and I'm saying this, have you ever wanted to be left alone, but your call keeps knocking? Can some of you think back to that party that you were at? And you wanted to fit in with everybody else, and people were looking at you just like, you don't even belong here. And you got an attitude like, yes, I do. But there was something about you that was different than everybody else. Can anybody just have a flashback real quick and remember when and what's bad about it, Katie, is that the person who told you wouldn't save themselves. Is it that some unsaved person can look at you and say, you don't even sound right cussing like that? You don't even look right trying to do that. You called for more than this. So Jesus withdrew himself into a boat to a desolate place. It says, but when the crowds heard it, when his purpose heard it, they followed him on foot. So Jesus isolated, he withdrew himself for a second, but it was only for a moment because his purpose found him wherever he was. Your purpose is looking for you, and y'all keep trying to hide. Hey, I'm in the right church. Your purpose is looking for you, and you keep saying maybe later because I'm going through something. I'm broke. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm sad. Somebody died. I got a divorce. I got laid off. All these different excuses we have. So we withdraw and we think God forgot that he called you. He withdrew himself, but the crowds heard where he was. So the second thing Jesus teaches us is that your purpose is connected to what you're compassionate about. Verse 14 says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Now remember, Jesus was just mourning because his forerunner died. Yeah. But now, in the same sentence of him going through what he's going through, his compassion compels him to still operate in his call. When is the last time you put your needs aside to help somebody else? When is the last time you needed it, but you gave it even though you needed it? You needed somebody to pray for you, but you prayed for them realizing you really wanted somebody to pray for you. Have you ever given what you needed and wound up getting what you needed because you gave it away? Jesus was moved with compassion in spite of what he was going through. Yes. Now, I asked myself, I said, why was Jesus moved with compassion? Well, in another gospel of the same story, Mark 6 chapter verse 34 says, y'all don't have this. It says that when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. Remember, John died because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Many of them were followers of John until John got beheaded. So now their leader had been killed, assassinated. And now they're running around trying to find out answers, trying to figure out who do we follow now. And he looked at them. He said, y'all are like sheep who have no leader. Some of you are getting mad at people who are coming to you, and the only reason they're coming to you, Marissa, is that what they had believed in died. Yes. Their normal died. And now they're coming to you for answers and saying, why did I go through that? What I thought was always going to be there has left me. And you need to look at them like Jesus looked at them and said, y'all look like you have no leader. People don't come to you unless you have the answer. He looked out and he said, y'all look like sheep who have no leader. And he began to be moved with compassion. So the people were moved with him and they were coming to him because they didn't have any direction. Some of y'all are like, I don't know why they always come over to my house. I wish they would go somewhere else. Well, maybe your house is the only peaceful place they have. So maybe instead of watching Netflix and chilling, maybe you'll turn it off and do a Bible study with them. I don't know how to do a Bible study. Get a Bible app. Share one of the notes that you already have. Re-preach what you've already heard. And say, what's going on in your life? And when they say what's going on, you're like, I think I got notes for that. And talk to them and find out. They're not coming to your house because they don't have nothing else to do. They're coming to your house because they want answers. It's not to pick an argument. It's not to pick a fight. They're looking because they don't have anywhere else to go. And we keep pushing away our purpose. And then we say the next day, Lord, show me my purpose. He says they come to your house every day. Lord, show me my purpose. It's that supervisor you can't stand. Lord, show me my purpose. It's that relationship that you argue more than you help. God's saying your purpose is right around you, but you're ignoring it. And you keep praying prayers that God has already answered. Lord, show me my purpose. I have showed you. But you keep putting your purpose on pause. And the reason you're not fulfilled is because and you're saying, God ain't answering me because you hadn't fulfilled what he already told you to do. All right. The third thing God shows us, and this was difficult for me to get, but I understand it now. People who do not understand your purpose would try to dismiss it to avoid dealing with it. People who don't understand you would try to dismiss you. People who think that what you're doing does not matter would try to dismiss it. Because in verse 15 it says, now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, Jesus. The day is now over. It's getting late. Send the people away to the villages so they can buy them some food. Doesn't that sound like most Christian people? Not y'all. But don't that sound like people? Somebody needs to do something about that. This crime that's going on in the city, we need to call a prayer meeting. Somebody needs to do something. That's a mess. Look at that child. Because see, I grew up, Mother Higgins and Mama Judy. I grew up in an era, Mama Joanne, where everybody was your family. That's foreign to a generation now. But we grew up in the generation. I grew up in a generation. I'm almost 40. I grew up in a generation where somebody else would snatch you before your parents did. And to show you they weren't scared, they would take you to your mama and say, let me tell you what I did to them before they tell you something else. But now we have a people who say, I wish they would. And so you get the right person, they be like, what you say? They start shaking. The Hulk starts rising up in them. What, say it again. What'd you say? They said, before you can get it out, it's all up in you and took their larynx out of their throat. And you're like, what you say? But why is it that people who don't want to do it talk you out of doing it? I don't think we should be. Maybe you're not called to it. But for me, I'm concerned about it. So that's why I move towards it. Just because you don't want to do it, don't talk me out of it. So the disciples looked at the issue, looked at the purpose, and they said, Jesus, we need to tell these people to go somewhere else because we don't have no food. We don't have no money. We don't have nothing to feed these people. So it's getting late. So it's time for them to go somewhere else. Now, one of the Gospels, it says that Jesus turned to Philip. Mr. Leon done stood up in the message. He can't take no more. So Jesus looked at one disciple named Philip, and he said, do you know where they can buy some food? And the reason he told asked Philip is because Philip was from the area. So Philip said, I don't know any place that is still open. Because people, and what is sad, and I hate this, but it's true. A lot of times, the people who don't want to do anything are the people who are from the place that the problem is. Why is it that you got to have somebody from another state come to your state and do more than you've done in the 35 years you've lived here? Somebody will move from another location to open a business. Somebody Chinese, somebody Asian will come and open up a shop and sell hair that you could have been selling. But because you said, I don't know how to get my credit together, they get over here in a boat and open up a shop and you're going to get their hair when you could have been making a profit and having generational wealth. Say it, brother. Yeah.
So you don't like your own spouse, so somebody else likes them, so they steal them because you complain about them.
So we say, I don't know what to do. Ain't nothing open. So that's what happens. I'm sorry. It's too much. Let me go on. Y'all want me to go back on vacation? So when you don't want to deal, we often revert to excuses on why it can't be done instead of asking God how it can be done. Many of us say, I don't know why. Instead of saying, Lord, how do you think this can happen? I'm not sure. And that's what I'm saying. That's why we started the Rock the Block thing. Last year we did Operation Serve. And when we did Operation Serve, it wasn't as effective. Maybe because you call something Operation Serve and people don't know what it is. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But people weren't. But our mission was to help people. So this year we said, well, we'll call it Rock the Block. See what happens. And when we did it, people said, I want to go to a party. Who doesn't want to go to a party? So now we got over 400 people coming to a party and they don't even know what we're doing. Somebody yesterday asked me, are you going to preach? I said, at a party? They said, well, you know what churches do? I said, we ain't your normal church. That would be us having a motive. Because you got a crowd. Now let me give y'all a word. My word is going to be living. How you doing? Is this your mama? Oh, how they doing? I already preached. Because it's not the word that delivers, it's my love and my compassion to say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I smell like weed. Shoot, if it wasn't for his blood, I'd be smoking with you. I'm sorry. Y'all don't want to be real? It's the truth. If it had not been for his grace, I would be another statistic. So I'm going to hug everybody I get, every chance I get, and say, I'm just one of you who just happened to get saved. Let me put my bottle down. No, keep your bottle. He can turn water into wine. Do whatever you got to do. Don't worry about it. If you hide, don't worry about it. If you come tomorrow, I'll make sure you get high and keep a high. Look at somebody and say, just be real. Yeah. All right. I got 9 minutes left. No. Keenan's got to go. So the fourth thing Jesus teaches us, he teaches us, and y'all enjoying this, fourth thing, your purpose will always have an assignment that is bigger than what you naturally possess. Your purpose will always have an assignment that is bigger than what you're naturally able to possess. Jesus said to them, he said, what are we able to do? And they looked at him and they said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now that wasn't catfish. It wasn't no tilapia, no salmon. It wasn't that. It was a 2 little bitty things, almost like, minnows or something that you couldn't, you're like, what are we going to do with this? That's basically what it was. They said, well, all we got is a little bit of stuff. And it ain't enough. And what happens, one of the disciples, Andrew, said, and the lunch that is here, we didn't even bring it. The lunch that's available, a child's got it. And you have to understand, I feel Jesus. You have to understand that a child was overlooked in the culture of the time. Women and children were side notes. The men were who they looked to for leadership. So they said, it ain't even a woman, it's a child. What are we gonna do with that? That's overlooked, there's a little bitty thing. So it's a child, one, and then he's got a lunch that can't feed nobody. I want to tell you something. In this next season of your life, God's going to use what you overlook. You're overlooking stuff that God's going to use. Let it sit for a second. You're saying, all I have is, and God's saying, that's all I need. It's all you have. It's only, and God's saying, give me your only.
it's only a dollar. I don't have a lot. It's only my time. He said, I just want to use it. It's only my talent. I can't lead no song, but you can be a tenor. Can you help with your only? Look at somebody and say, give me your only. Yeah, y'all said it grudgingly. God wanted to use something that was overlooked. He said, it's overlooked, but I want it. So the next thing in verse 18, he says, well, bring it to me. This thing right here, verse point five, obey God and leave the consequences to him. When God gives you a word of instruction, don't try to figure out what he's going to do with it. Some of y'all try to give and then see if he's going to bless you tomorrow. I'm going to give my tithes predicated on the fact that he does open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing tomorrow. And some of you have blessings that are always contingent on something else. But you have to be obedient. Let me tell you something. What I know for sure, there are still prophecies over my life that still have not come to pass yet. I am not anxious over what he said, because I know that he is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. That if he said it, I will see it in my lifetime. Look at someone and say, I will see it. But you have to learn how to wait on it. And sometimes what we're waiting on is for him to change me before he gives it to me. So he says in verse 18, he says, bring it to me. The question I have to ask you, are you willing to give God what you have and trust him with it? Can you give it and then not manipulate it? Can you give it to him and then not try to control it? Many of us want to give it to God, but then we want to control the outcome. Is this too heavy? Can you lay it on the altar and walk away from it and leave it alone? Can you send the text message and say, I forgive you, and not get mad if they don't respond? I think y'all want to go to another church. Because some of you, this is the thing. Let me tell you this, Courtney. Sometimes you may not hear the words, I'm sorry. If you're waiting on an apology, you're waiting on the wrong thing. Sometimes the apology and the change is more about you than it is about them. If they never apologize, did you become bitter or did you become better? Because if you're no longer in my life, you cannot control my life and not be physically in my life. I cannot allow your memory to still control me, and you're not even in my life anymore. If you're not present with me anymore, you have no control over me. But some of us are still having a fascination and allowing someone to control us who is no longer even in the picture. Sixth thing God shows us, God always has a purpose behind the process. Verse 19 says, then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up towards heaven and he said a blessing. He broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. This is what's important. There is always a purpose to God breaking you. Anytime he breaks you, it's not because he's picking on you. Scripture says, whom he loves, he chastises. If you haven't been chastised recently, maybe he doesn't love you. For some of y'all who keep saying, all my life has been hard,
Everything I've gone through has been struggle. Maybe you haven't been broken yet. He keeps sending you through storms for you to finally break. And you're like, why would God want to break me? So he can give you. You want more word? Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Maybe it's too much about you right now. So he has to break you before he gives you. Because when he breaks you, then when you're given, you won't even want the credit. There is nothing like worship from a broken singer. There is nothing like a message from a broken preacher. There is nothing like a church that's filled with broken people. There's a presence that rests upon it. Because it's finally a spot that God says is not about us. Once he broke the gift, he gave the gift. But it was only until it was broken that he was able to give it. And some of you keep saying, if I were the leader, if I were the singer, if I were the pastor, I would do. And he says, and that's why you're not. Because it's I would do. And if I was married to her, I would show her a good time. And if I was my child, I would do that. And God said, and because you're single, you're talking about somebody who's got children and you don't even have a child. How are you going to tell a parent what they're going to do? And you ain't never carried nothing for 9 months. You ain't even had a relationship that lasted 9 months. Nevertheless, a child, you haven't been broken enough. You're too arrogant. But when God breaks you, you don't even want the credit. You don't even want the glory. Because you look at somebody and say, if you knew my story, if you knew how long it took me to get here, if you knew what my record, if you look me up on Fayette County, if you look to see my mugshot, and if you see what God did in spite of what's public news, and you see that God used me in spite of me, not because of my degrees, but because of my purpose on my life, I don't want the credit. To God be the glory. I could have been a statistic. I could have been. I was watching the documentary, When They See Us. It took 30 years for them to be vindicated. 30 years for us to find out the story. There's some of y'all who have gone through stuff that don't nobody know about. And people are looking at you and saying, how did you survive that? And you look at them and tell, because he broke me. He broke me from my mama's curse. He broke me from generational lies. He broke me from the things I was born into. And had he not broke me, I would not be able to be presented before you. There is a blessing in him breaking you. But we don't want to shout about that. Lord, I want to be anointed. You got to be broken before there's anointing. Anointing comes from an olive, and an olive has to be crushed before it's able to be flowed. But you want to be used, but you don't want to be crushed. But in order for you to be used correctly, you've got to be crushed. What happened to the altar call where people lift their hands and say, crush me, God. Break me, Jesus. Because I want to be used for my generation. In order for me to be used for my generation, I got to get out of the equation. Break me, God. So he broke it. I wish I had time to tell y'all the stuff he broke off me. When I think of what I could have been had he not broke me. When I think of where he could have left me had he not broke me. When I think of the states of mind that I was in, that he could have turned me over to myself, but he broke me. When I think of the other people who are still stuck, but he still moved me past their stuckness. When I think of what should have killed me, but he broke me. Can we just give God praise for being broke? Just, I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about him breaking you. So, the last thing, I just want to run. Have you ever sat with some of your old friends and looked around the room, Lakeitha, and said, had he not broke me? Can I bring it a little bit more closer, Melvin? Have you gone back to go visit the church you came out of? The environments that you came out of, and looked around the room and said, at one time, this was good. But had he not broke me, I would be still in the same place dying. But thank God for breaking me. Come on, one more time, give God praise for breaking us. It ain't popular, but it's necessary. I say it again, it ain't popular, but it's necessary. It is to the level of your breaking determines the heightened of your using.
Yes.
The more he breaks you, the more he can use you.
Yes.
Last point. Stop, Mario. Last point. 7. Verse 20 says, they all ate, were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. I just feel like changing this whole message to broken pieces. That broken pieces just spoke to me, Singleton. I'm sorry. Singleton spirit said, go ahead. What happens with that broken pieces is he will break me, but use different parts of me in different situations. Part of my story ministers to you. Another part of me ministers to you. Another part of me ministers to you because he broke me so that he could give me to more people. But the reason that I'm able to be used to many different people is because I've been broken so much that there's so much of me to give to other people. And had I not been broken like that, I wouldn't have so much to give to so many people. He had to break me to give me. So the basket was full of broken pieces, different parts of my life. 21 says, and those who ate, those who heard it, were about 5,000 men besides women and children. The last point is this. If God can get it through you, he'll give it to you. If God can bless people through you, he'll give it to you. Some of y'all are saying, I want one of those cars that drives itself. I want one of those cars you can just plug up. And God said, and there's a reason you ain't gonna get it. Because you want it for you. So I can't get it to you because ain't nothing gonna come through you. Mama Judy. And this is not a message about her. Mama Judy's been sick for, I don't know how long, over a year. I can't tell you how many times Mama Judy hasn't had, but still be cooking for other people. How are you gonna be sick, needing food for yourself, but making it for other people? Because God said, if I can get healing to you, I know you'll get it through you. I will do whatever I have to do to break you to the point that you realize that it ain't about you. And when you realize that it's not about you, I'll give it to you because it won't stop with you. I am only what I am to help somebody else so that whoever comes behind me won't have to do what I did. It's not about me sitting here saying, if y'all only knew what we had to come through. Oh, no, no, no. I'll tell you what we came through so you don't have to go through that. So if God can get it through you, he'll give it to you. But some people keep saying, I don't know why I can't get rich. I played all the numbers. I went to the boat. I went to Las Vegas. There wasn't no saints around. Didn't nobody know? I took all my money. All I won was $33. It wasn't nuts. No, okay, let me get out of that. And God says, the reason I can't give it to you is because if I gave it to you, you might not show up for purpose anymore. It's not about you being broke in money, but it's about you being broke in your ego. When I find out it's not about you, I give it to you. Because you'll have such story behind it that you won't ever talk about. Let me show you my house. He'd be like, before I open this door, let me tell you how long it took me to get to this door. Let me tell you who's staying in my guest room. Let me tell you who I feed. Let me tell you who I help. Let me tell you how I go over to God's pantry. Even though I have this house, I go over there because I want to remind myself that if it had not been for his grace, I could be in this line too. Last point, I'm through. Edward Hale says this. I'm through. Kenan's gone. No music. Y'all gonna make me go back to when we start the church, I go to the keyboard and play myself. No, I won't. No, I won't. He already broke me. All right, y'all be breaking me down. Stop it. Let's get anointed again. All right. But Edward Hale says this. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Will you lean down your row, a few people, and tell them, just do something. Just do something.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at My Growth Point. Until next time, keep growing.